I absolutely love talking to one of my favorite congressmen, Congressman Ken Buck of the 4th Congressional District. He's just a fantastic, congressman, as well as an author. He's got a new book out. Anyway, I love the fact that he's saying to his fellow congressmen, guys, we got to stick around through August. We got to get this done. Welcome to the show, Congressman Ken Buck.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
And I bet your book's selling pretty much like hotcakes right now, isn't it?
Well, I don't know about hotcakes, but it is selling, and I'm happy that the word is getting out.
Well, it's a solid book. It's a great book. I think it's your first book, isn't it?
It is my first, yes.
Well, you started off very well. I thought it was a terrific book. But the reason I have you on the show today is that I love the fact that you're saying to Congress, who typically takes August off, which is a terribly hot month for the district, but also a good time to get home and do district work. But you're saying, guys, we got to stick around. We got to get this done. I really appreciate that.
You know, we have so many things that are undone at this point. We have not finished the reforming the Affordable Care Act. We have not started the tax reform that we promised the American people. We haven't started the budget for next fiscal year. We haven't done the appropriations bills. We haven't talked about the infrastructure package. There are many accomplishments so far on smaller issues, but in terms of the big issues that the American public gave Republicans, the House, the Senate, the White House, we have not moved on those, and we've got to. We will never be a credible governing majority if we don't get those things done. And going back to our districts in August is just a bad idea. It's a bad optic, and it's a bad really process to ignore what the American people are asking us to do.
Well said. And I know it's hot in D.C. in August. In fact, it's almost unbearable. But there is a magical thing called air conditioning. And so I know y'all won't be too uncomfortable. But I want to ask you prospects for the health care reform bill. You have the House version. You have an emerging Senate version that may or may not pass. And then there's now a push to go with a pure repeal bill and then come together perhaps in a bipartisan way and work on a replacement. What are the odds that could happen?
Well, first, Chris, let me say it is hot in August of 2017, but if we don't get our work done, it's going to be even hotter in Washington, D.C. in November of 2018. So I'd much rather put up with the heat now than later. I think there's a chance that there's a full repeal. I have to tell you, the Republicans in the House and Senate were just pounding their chests and being so macho with the full repeals that they sent to President Obama when they knew that they would be vetoed and would not become law. And they were sort of messaging bills that we could all go out and campaign on. But now that we have a president who will sign a full repeal, it's time that we send them a repeal. And it's time that we sit down with Democrats, that we come up with a plan, that we hold hearings, we've listened to the American public, and we're able to move forward. And I hope we get Democrat votes on it, but either way, we've got to make sure that we stop the death spiral that the Affordable Care Act is in right now.
What I like about a pure repeal is that it sort of cuts off the bridge to the status quo, and it forces both Democrats and Republicans to come up with some sort of a replacement, because if it's as it stands now, there's really no incentive for Democrats to get involved at all. All they do is sort of, you know, shake their heads and wag their fingers. But if people are going to lose health insurance unless something's done, it forces everyone to come to the table, doesn't it?
I think it does, and really, hopefully, it forces us to look at things in a financially responsible manner. It's easy to say we're going to cover all these things and just go further into debt. It's another thing to say how are we going to pay for these things? How are we going to, in a responsible way, make sure that the most vulnerable in our society, those folks with pre-existing conditions, those folks that cannot take care of themselves and truly need Medicaid and other assistance programs, how do we take care of those folks at the same time we incentivize work, we incentivize responsible behavior by people so that we don't drive up costs of medical care?
When I think about, you know, there are Coloradans out there with disabilities, people with pre-existing conditions, of which I have a couple, that have always kept themselves insured, have lived very responsible and healthy lives. I think that those are the folks that need to be helped. I don't, the kid that wants to jump on and off of health insurance and have his neighbor essentially cover his health issues, that's the person that I think needs to be cut off, at least for their own sake, to become a more responsible person.
Absolutely. There are ramifications for that. You know, a young person, 25 years old, that jumps on and off insurance, if they're off insurance and they get into a car wreck, someone ends up paying those bills. You know, the kid will declare bankruptcy, and we have that situation. And I'm not suggesting for a moment that we have single payer, but I am suggesting that we think through, how do we incentivize a young person? How do we make it affordable? How do we make it, how do we create an education program so that young people understand that the responsible thing to do is to have health insurance, and at the same time not make it out of their reach to be on a health insurance plan?
I couldn't agree more. And I think there's another group of, I would call, irresponsible people, and that is often middle-aged people who decide, well, I would rather take a vacation than pay for health insurance. And either they don't get health insurance, or they go into Medicaid under the expansion and have someone else pay for their health insurance when they could simply sacrifice a bit and pay for their own health insurance. And I think that's got to be changed as well, don't you think?
I do, and there are so many other factors. For example, how do we drive down the cost of healthcare? Not just deal with the insurance markets, but healthcare itself has just been such a an ever increasing cost that it makes absolutely no sense. And if we increase in supply and we decrease demand, market forces will take over, and we have the ability in government to influence those things. I don't think government creates jobs. I don't think government efficiently manipulates the marketplace. But we have the ability to influence the marketplace with government action, and we should.
Well said. So I think that, you know, I think the market could cover most of these situations. There is a handful of, you know, well, more than a handful, but a group of people here in America that have severe health issues, not by their own choice. Maybe it's MS, maybe it's muscular dystrophy, maybe it's cystic fibrosis. Those are the folks that I would like to help through perhaps a high risk pool. I realize that they, you know, they're in a difficult situation, not by their own choosing. And so how do we allow government to support those folks if needed, while letting the rest of us be well served by a free marketplace? I wanted to ask you another quick question, and that is, did you have a chance to hear President Trump's speech in Poland? I thought it was quite beautiful.
I did not. I've heard a lot of good comments about it on the radio. I did not. I was in meetings in the district all day today, and so I didn't hear it. But I'm anxious to see parts of it this evening.
I think you'll be really pleased. I think it's the version of Trump, President Trump, I'd like to see more of. He was calm, he was measured, and he gave a beautiful speech. I think you'll be very pleased when you hear it. Congressman Ken Buck, thanks so much for coming on today, and thanks so much for pushing your fellow members to get her done. I think between that and your book, which exposes some of the kind of underhanded things going on in D.C., I think you're being a very good influence in a body that could use some reform.
Well, I appreciate it. We're gonna drain the swamp one way or another, hopefully.
One way or another. My favorite thing about your book is the alligator in the reflecting pool on the front. I thought that was just genius. Absolute genius. But it's a terrific book. And I just want to say, if I don't have a chance to say it again, is I just think you're a wonderful congressman, and I really appreciate the work you're doing.
Thank you so much. It's been great to be on with you today.
Well, thank you so much, Congressman. And let's just hope that they heed your advice and use that air conditioning and stay in D.C. over August. Good luck with pushing your fellow members to do that, and have a terrific day.
Thank you. You also.
Yeah, thanks so much, Congressman. Congressman Ken Buck, I know there's people out there like, why are you giving compliments to the congressman? Actually, there's a handful of congressmen that I just really like. I like Congressman Ken Buck. I like Congressman Kaufman. I like Senator Cory Gardner. I even like Congressman Jared Polis. Not that I actually think he's wrong 99% of the time, but I like him as a person. And you know what? We don't always have to be cynical and angry. Sometimes we can just say, hey, I like these people, and I think they're trying to do the best under difficult circumstances. I certainly am willing to say that about Congressman Ken Buck. When we get back, if you've got thoughts about the president's speech or about Congressman Ken Buck's push to keep Congress in session over August, which I think is an excellent idea, I tell you what, I want to just take also a tiny departure from politics because a dude broke out of prison using a drone. I want to tell you about it, plus also catch your calls at 303-696-1971. Let's take a quick break. You're listening to 710 KNUS.
Your commute to downtown on northbound 25, a little slow right now. This report brought to you by Staples. Staples is your office away from your office with everything you need to print, scan, or fax. Access files from a USB, email, or the cloud, and use self-serve machines to get back to business. Staples, it's pro time. I-25 northbound, a lot of congestion between Emerson Street Bridge and Auraria Parkway. In the midst of that, you'll see a pullover right now, northbound 25 near Alameda. Flashing lights on the shoulder near Alameda. I-70 westbound, a lot of stop and go between 270 and Colorado, and westbound I-70 between Wadsworth and Kipling. I'm Steve Millen, 710 KNUS First Alert Traffic.